You know, when Mike was praying about letting the Lord embrace and hover over us and touch our hearts and our lives, of course that's what we need. There are thousands of reasons why we need that. Not to mention the fact that we are made that way and need God, because that's how we function in wholeness. But I was aware also that very often when the Lord would embrace and comfort and want to gather us, that bumps into certain things. You ever notice that? That certain times it's hard to receive, it's hard to get all the way through. We wonder, we have questions, there's stuff going on, you know, there's stuff. And that's what we're talking about here, because that stuff needs to be removed if we're going to really enjoy the Lord and know Him in the way that we need to. So we've been talking about a number of the elements, huge elements actually, that are common to man and stretch back to the fall, and how they impact our life to this very day in the messages before this. tonight, and that is just, that just has to do with our sin nature. The fact that there's lots of things in us that cause us to miss God. And that's what sin means, missing God. And in missing Him, not sharing in Him. Missing the mark and not sharing in the prize. Well, that's a universal condition, isn't it? To some degree or other. And so we're trying to get a handle on it so that we don't suffer from it as much, you know. But so there's that whole set of things that just has become part of our nature. And it's a huge set of things. The other element that we want to talk about tonight is what happens to us because all of those things are in place. Because the elements of our sin nature of human beings are functioning and active out there, certain things happen to us. Jesus calls it brokenhearted. See, this the second thing he said he came to do after preaching the good tidings is heal the brokenhearted. Now, who do you think he was meaning when he said that? Well, you know, I think we had more hands here than he got in the synagogue when he said it. You know what I call that? Progress. Let's look at the statement of it in Luke 4:18. We looked at it pretty closely. We looked at the whole progression of it pretty closely, where it's stated in Isaiah 61. But I want to look at and define some things for you. No, I was asking the Lord about this because I think you can even just by me saying brokenhearted, you can probably appreciate that there are endless ways in which that can be the case. And so how do we talk about it in a way that makes sense and that points to all of those but gives us a handle on it? You know, that's what I was asking the Lord this week. I said, Lord, this is a rather complicated issue. Could you help me simplify it? Could you help me? And I really think he has. You judge for yourself. But the scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord." Now, an interesting thing here. He's just come out of the temptation in the wilderness, and gotten through all of that, and he comes into Nazareth, which is his hometown, as it were, right? And there he goes into the synagogue and reads from the scroll of Isaiah and says these things. And then he says, That prophecy is, what, 600 years old or something? He says, it's being fulfilled right now in your sight. This is what you're seeing happen. Do you know that the hardest place in the world to say who you are is your hometown? See, think about it. You go home and tell your family who you are. And what do they do with it? They hear it plainly. They think they know who you are. You know what I'm saying? This is a very courageous thing here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he says, because he has anointed me. And there are several things that he's anointed for: to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Yay, indeed. It's a new regime coming in. I want to make a distinction tonight that I think is a very important distinction, and tell you why. A distinction between sin and brokenhearted. We need to understand that there's quite a difference between those two. And why it is important is because if we're talking about it from the point of view of our recovery, or if we're talking about it from the point of view of ministering to someone else, those distinctions are very important. Sin calls for humbling and repentance and a different kind of obedience. It calls for us to say, Lord, maybe you're right and I'm not. Maybe my way needs looking at. Repentance means to reconsider or to think differently. It has a turning around kind of quality to it, but it means that we're going to take another look at this and see if there's something more to it than we'd been thinking. You know, it's a humbling activity, isn't it? And then, in the humbling, we decide that maybe God's way is better than mine, and I think I'll go in that direction instead. That's the correction for our own willfulness and things that we have a hold of in the way we operate. Brokenhearted calls for comfort and healing and an exchange of the things that worked the brokenness. It's very important, isn't it? Because we cannot minister repentance and humbling to brokenness. That kind of adds to the brokenness. It blames people for being broken. You know, you should fix this. Well, if they could, they would. We're to minister in such a way that brokenness gets changed. Okay, I want to make that distinction and ask you to have it in mind as I kind of define and describe to you what brokenhearted means. The word used here, the Greek word used here is suntribo, S-U-N-T-R-I-B-O. It means literally to rub together and so break in pieces or shatter. It's also talked about as bruising, a type of bruising of a reed. You know, in Matthew 12:20, it says, talking about Jesus, it says, he will not break a bruised reed. See, he's the one who doesn't break and bruise. But the word is a two-part word. The first part, sun, means a close union with, by association, by companionship, or some kind of process. Okay? Something that we are in close relationship with. The second part, tribos, means to rub a rut or a worn track. Okay? So, we're in close association with something that rubs a rut or a track in our lives, in our heart. Now, has that happened to any of us?
Yes.
Yeah. All you got to do is put us in an environment that influences us in a particular way, and that is repeated, and you will run a track. And we will find some way to manage it or embrace it. Hopefully it's healthy enough to embrace. But lots of people spent a fair amount of time in some environments that have very much rubbed a track, worn a track, or a path, or a rut that is a very difficult one, and have had to defend themselves and put up some protections to manage. Now, do those automatically disappear when the environment changes? No, tracks are actually hard to change. You know? So he's saying, this is how we got broken. And I would suggest to you that he's talking about associations not related to him. All the associations and the close alliances and companionship and processes we've been in that do not come from him. They run a track in our lives nevertheless. And he calls that broken. Now he's talking about our heart, which is the center of our being. So this is not a trivial condition, is it? Something in the center of us is rutted or tracked in a way that is described here as broken. So to be in close association or companionship or process with something or someone that wears a crushing, shattering, some kind of breaking track in our lives. Now the Lord, he takes that very seriously because he came to do something about it. He takes it very seriously. Do you notice that we tend to minimize it? You know, one of the things we talked about early on is in the elements of the fall, is that the ways in which we knowing by our own faculties and chiefly in the mind, we can explain things and understand them and go on as though our heart is healed. Is it? You ever notice any of those tracks jumping up to bite you? Or get in the way of relationships or derail things or undermine or whatever. See, they, you know, those patterns in our life keep plaguing us. So he's talking about not just understanding them or whatever, but actually letting him do some healing in it. Let me give you some share with you some signs, or we could say symptoms, of ruts and tracks that have worked brokenness. And these are things I see really and minister to regularly, because people come under a lot of these things and they don't exactly know why. Remember, one of the elements of the fall we talked about is hiding. A lot of the things that have broken and worked the tracks, we have in hiding now. We're going on as though we're ignoring them. You know, but we still experience the symptoms. That's the catch. One of the signs that we have been in association with something breaking and damaging to us is anger. Intense, you know, fairly intense anger, the things that get triggered or whatever. This is something I really never have seen to fail, that these things that I'm mentioning to you have, in the history of the person, this whole thing of association with something that has caused this very symptom. See, I've never ministered to anybody who is trying to deal with their anger who didn't spend some time associated, closely associated with something that caused it. Am I making it? Am I getting clear? Am I clear? See, the Lord is very accurate here. Very accurate in what he's saying. This is exactly how it happens. Or depression. Okay? Any kind of a recurring depression. It usually has to do with association with something that has either damaged our self-esteem so we don't feel good about ourselves and we're not worthwhile, or it has set up something that we have to accomplish in order to be worthwhile, and you never can accomplish it. You know, you try and try and try and you never can accomplish it, and it feels hopeless and tiring to keep doing that. Well, there is, somewhere, there has been association with something that produced that. And I'll tell you something else that I think is normally the case. These symptoms, these ruts, they come more from the word of man than the word of God. These are messages of man. Usually influential people in our lives. They have much more power to work ruts than other people. Anxiety is one of the signs of this. Usually has to do with people who have been in some kind of unsafe or uncertain environment. Could go off at any time. You never know what's going to happen. You never can get it right. There's just this constant anxiety about something's going to happen, you know. That is an association. That is a person who has been associated with these kinds of things and that has caused them to feel very anxious and unsafe. They didn't come that way. It's not their personality. There has been a close association with things that have caused that. And there is a brokenness in that, isn't there? See, our heart is not peaceful and safe and at liberty. It is anxious now. Fear of intimacy, and I'm talking emotional, spiritual intimacy here, with God and others. People have a certain amount of fear of intimacy. Actually, many people have a fear of intimacy. We don't want to be too visible. We don't want to risk too much. Generally speaking, you keep pulling on what, you know, the history and stuff, and you'll find that the person reached out, got hurt, that happened more than once, and they learned, they came to a conclusion, a pattern, a rut that says, you don't risk, you don't get hurt. Therefore, I stay pretty guarded. Lack of joy or tenderness, compassion. People having difficulty with compassion. They have been associated with being ridiculed for such things. Only logic counts. You've got to get it right. If you have any weakness or tenderness or whatever, sometimes people have been made fun of. What's your problem? You know, we don't have to hear that very many times. That's a close association with something that causes us to put those qualities underground, you know. And that's what the Lord is talking about. There are levels of brokenness of heart due to the way that happens, the things that we're associated with. Okay, now here's the problem. Remember some of the elements of the fall. You know, we think we know, and we assess and find out and come to knowledge by what we see and our own judgment and stuff, okay? So here's the problem. We believe what has been lodged and reinforced and rutted in us by our experience. See, that's a natural kind of knowing to us. So we believe those things that are part of our experience. See, when I pray with folks who know that God loves them, but they are very afraid that he won't even respond. Well, There's a difference between what we know and actually what's going on in our heart in terms of our experience, huh? We've been disappointed many times, and we've got to do something with that, or the Lord will look like that too. What I'm saying is we believe our experience more readily than we believe the Lord at a certain level in our heart. And it's very difficult to get us past that. It's part of the difficulty of getting through to some of the levels of connection and receiving from the Lord that we want. Get past those experiences in our heart, the brokenness that he's talking about here. So a huge part of healing is letting God overrule, and replace those ruts. Honestly, that is what they deserve. They're not the word of the Lord to us very often. They really need to be lit up for what they are and overruled by what God says. Have that apply more to the depths of our heart and have what he brings and how he is and who he is to us replace. And I'll just say this, the word of man. God needs to replace the word of man. The influence and the rut and the tracks and the brokenness of the word of man in our lives, if that's what it's caused. Let me refer to these four elements of the fall and how the elements of sin that come from the fall of man and our brokenhearted condition, how they overlap and kind of work together, you know. This knowing by our own faculties that the serpent offered us with the idea that our own faculties would be as good as God's, you know, I mean that was the offer. Sounds great, but it doesn't really work. but it leads to the sense that my experience is the truth. See, what I experience is the truth. I know this is the truth because it happened to me. Well, it may have happened to you, and that part of it is true, but it is not the truth about your value or God either, you know. So the way that we know tends to hold some of those ruts in place, you know. This is my experience and this is the truth. Listening to the second thing as they ended up coming out of the fall, listening more to each other, first to the serpent, then to each other, and not listening to God anymore. So listening to others more than we listen to God. People tell me very frequently how much advice they have followed from people and the problem has not changed. I've done this. These people told me that. I've done that. I've done this. And I still experience, I'm still depressed. Well, of course, we're not going to change it by doing something. We're going to have to let God replace whatever was lodged in our heart. And why is that difficult for us? Why do you think it's difficult to get down to what is in our heart and let God work with that? Yeah. It's unfamiliar, yeah. We're it's more natural to us to hide it away than it is to look at it. And honestly, I don't think we really know particularly how to get it to the Lord. We have to get in touch with it, which is challenging, isn't it? It's uncomfortable. You know, getting in touch with our emotions and the pain or the brokenness in us, it seems safer or more in control, you know, to ignore it and be okay. It's only, I'll tell you this, it's only when the difficulty of tolerating it is so intense that it's worth facing it, you know? When it's so uncomfortable that we can't really tolerate it anymore, we'll probably, you know, push through and look at it a little more. But and this whole thing of hiding, see, this is a big issue. This is a big difficulty. Some of the things that we need to get to the Lord to be healed that produce some of these patterns that we're not real crazy about are hidden away. We don't exactly know what they are. You remember the first night we were talking about a couple of the Psalms about pouring out our heart, sprawling out before the Lord, and asking Him to search our heart? Really, honestly, we probably aren't going to be able to get things to Him unless we let Him show us what they are. Because we have disconnected from them. You know, we've disconnected from a lot of them. And the last thing that we talked about were the responsibility lines. They ended up in a place where everybody was responsible for their choice but them. God was responsible. The serpent was responsible. My wife made me do it. You know, that's how we see things. Well, if it wasn't for that, I'd be fine. But the Lord seems to keep holding us responsible for discovering His way and for following Him and for replacing some of these things in our lives and letting him overrule them. He seems to keep holding us responsible for that. We're responsible for who we're listening to and how we go about it. Okay, I think we can safely say, and this is part of the point we've been trying to get to for weeks. We can safely say that we are all recovering from all of these elements, right? All of us. There are no exceptions. You know, all have missed God. That's what it says. So, and these are the reasons. These are the reasons why they're all wired up in us. So. We're all in the same type of recovery to some degree or another. I think in the elements of sin, we are all in recovery, period. All. We're all got those things in us that we have got to take apart and let God rework. There is no way out of it. They are not going to work the way they are. The brokenhearted condition is along a spectrum. You know, from not too bad to plain horrible and very, very intense. You know, and it depends on the environment and how healthy and safe it was or how abusive and destructive it was. Because those ruts are there from it and we do have to recover. Okay, that means that the way the church functions, the only way the church can function is that it means that the ministers are also infected. Right? The people doing the ministering are also infected. hopefully, they are a bit farther along in their healing than the people they're ministering to. That would work best. But we're all infected. That's one thing. Secondly, everyone we pray for has all of these things going on. I guarantee you. Everyone that we pray for or try to minister to has all of these things going on. Now, are we going to be able to address them? All? Not hardly. We're not incapable of it, and it would kill them. You know? So, there's no way. You know, I said, people ask me, why doesn't God just clear everything up? Why doesn't He just clear away everything? And I say, well, for one thing, it would kill you. You know, we can't tolerate. I mean, you know, the Lord lights up a little area in our life that contains pain, and we say, whoa, let me think about this, you know. So, I mean, there's no way that we can do all that. Okay, so everyone that we pray for has all of these things stirring around, and we will only be dealing with the peace that is at hand. That would be wisdom. You deal with the peace that it is at hand, that they are presenting, that they can tolerate, or that the Lord lights up. And if he lights it up, it will be the peace at hand and something they can tolerate. Because he does not blow us out of the water. which says that we really need the Holy Spirit to be identifying what is next with the person that we're praying for. We cannot dive into this whole intricate thing and think we're going to unravel it. I have a lot of training, actually, and I have a lot of experience. I wouldn't dream of doing that. I wouldn't even consider it. That's the second thing. Next, somebody look up Philippians 2, 12 and 13, and I'd like to ask you to read it in a minute. Since our salvation, our saving, God saving us from sin and brokenness is an ongoing progression. See, it's going to be an ongoing progression, right? We get, you think you get done after 10 years in the Lord or 20 years in the Lord? It's an ongoing progression. Who's got Philippians 2, 12 and 13?
I've got it. Okay. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose.
Okay, why is that fear and trembling in there? Why do you think?
Come easy. Because if you don't do it, you're in a precarious place.
Yes, that's true.
You don't take care of the sin, you're at risk.
That's true. See, it says that it is God who works in us. He wills some things and he works in us. That's light, isn't it? He's going to light up some of these things. When he lights up what's going on in our heart, is that scary? Yeah, see, this is actually scary for us. We are afraid to let God do this. And when we do let him do it, there is some trembling. That's a good description. And we have to stay with it. So it says, work it out with him with fear and trembling. That's very accurate. I've spent time with the Lord, invite him to show me things he does, and I say, whoa! You know, it makes me, I start getting very uncomfortable. And we can either break off or we can press through. And if we do, it's going to be characterized by exactly what he says here. Yeah.
Does it have anything to do with reverence as well?
Yes, but it means fear.
Yeah.
And the trembling doesn't mean reverence. It means trembling.
Yeah, I hate it when that happens.
See, we wouldn't face the fear except for the reverence, except for some awareness of who God is, except for his safety, you know, except for knowing that he will get us through it. But it's scary. And I have to tell you this because if we automatically avoid the uncomfortable places, we will not be able to let God heal us. I just tell you that, honestly. Okay, so here's the question. Those being the realities, here's the question. How do we equip people to be in it and stay in it long enough to see the kingdom come in power? That's the question. What's the key to that kind of equipping? What gets us to the place where we can let God restore us? We can tolerate it. We can have the courage to do that. Anybody want to leap in there?
The joy, said before, there's got to be something worth going through.
Yeah, that's
you
a.
You don't have a vision of it.
That's a motivator. But we still have to know how to proceed. But I think that is a motivator. Yeah, we long for those things of God, you know. Yes. What else do you think of? Well, let me comment then. I believe that there are several things that it rests on, but the key thing that it rests on is enough connection with the Lord to let Him do some of these things. Enough connection. We are not going to be able to figure out ourselves if we do not have the kind of connection with Him where He can minister to us. We will not know what is needed, and we will not be able to tolerate it. The comfort and love and encouragement and assurance of God is what enables us to stay with it through the fear and trembling. That's the thing. Otherwise, we will go off and try to find something that helps a little bit, but we will not get through. So we have to have the connection with Him, that kind of connection with the Lord where we can let Him minister to us in that way, let Him show us, so that we can be in the ongoing work of Him clearing the ruts and replacing them and giving us some new tracks with Him. With Him. Really with Him. As those proceed, as that connection with the Lord and Him working out these things with us proceed, we start experiencing more freedom and more manifestation of kingdom life through us because of the exchanges, because we see things differently, because we become really a different person. You know, I'm not even the same person I was when I crashed into the Lord. I'm not even the same person. Okay, these things, this connection with the Lord, this ongoing work of clearing and equipping us and letting Him manifest His kingdom in us, that is a way of life. That needs to be a way of life for believers. And the stronger we are in those things, the more we are going to experience of the Lord, is what I would say. Okay, I want to give you an illustration of this, just the brokenhearted part. And I'll comment on it a little bit, but just pass it around there. And I want to talk about it a little bit, just almost in terms of the definition and what we're talking about here tonight. You know, if we have the areas that are broken in our life are normally kind of put away a little bit. We have a lid on them. They're troublesome. We don't know what to do with them. You know, we have a bit of a lid on them. So what's on top of the lid is behaviors and choices and things that don't get us into too much trouble. You know, we function in this range where it's pretty acceptable out there. You know, we don't hit the skids too much and don't get into too much trouble. Don't risk too much. Underneath that lid are the ruts and tracks and outcome of the associations in our life that have produced brokenness. And that is anger, confusion, conflict, mistrust, fear of intimacy, the kinds of things that we've talked about. They are under there, folks. If we're not experiencing freedom and liberty and getting to be all of who we are, they are under there. They are under there, and they're derailing us. What the Lord would like to do is lift the lid, and Scripture calls circumcise your hearts. Remember we talked about that? Here's the whammy. Lift the lid, let Him help us through the ruts and the tracks and the brokenness, and retrieve the characteristics that He gave us. That actually have to get, they are the part that gets crushed and shattered. And unfortunately, they are some of our dearest qualities. Tenderness, innocence, trust, joy. See, those qualities, if they're in an unsafe environment, have to go underground. Right? You're not going to keep pouring them out if you get clobbered for them. So they are, you know, they tend to be hidden away. I believe what the Lord wants is to retrieve those kind of intrinsic qualities that He created in us to the point that we can be out here with Him, with all of them, functioning freely. Now, do we all want that? Really? Then what is the problem? We don't want to go through the middle part? Yeah, I know. It is humbling. Oh, man, healing is humbling. And difficult at times, you know. Yeah, I think it's this middle part that is tricky for us. And part of that is willingness, but honestly, part of it is we don't know how to get through here. We don't know how to do it. And I think it's largely because of the connection with the Lord. We don't have enough connection with Him to sustain us through these things. So, how do I wind this up? Well, I have an exercise. We're not going to do it tonight, but you can take it home. It says, what has broken my heart? You know, if we're going to examine any of these things with Him, we have to actually know what it is. So this is just beginning to give the Lord some permission to show us what might be going on. Now, I want to try to frame the progression that we're talking about here, and then I'm going to close and can have some discussion and maybe prayer time. But I want to try to frame what we're talking about here. The whole thing that we're saying here in looking at the elements of the fall and looking at what has broken our hearts and caused us to be separated from the Lord and wrestle with the place that we want to have in Him. That healing of our lives and hearts, that is like a pivotal middle part, I think. See, we come into some knowledge of God, and then we bump into all these things, right? He's got to clear up our condition. He's got to restore us. He's got to do whatever healing. He's got to put our heart back together. He's got to free us to be out there with Him. That's like a central and kind of pivotal thing. It's not the final goal. It's getting us in a condition for it. I think the condition that the Lord is after, and we're going to talk about this next time, next meeting, is that He gets us to a place where it is not our mind and heart in control so much anymore, but more our spirit. But if our heart is wounded, we will be afraid and we will not allow the freedom that our spirit has in the Lord to move. See, the goal is more like the Spirit of God touching and quickening and moving our spirit, and our heart will agree and say, let's go, instead of, oh, I don't know. That's pretty scary. That can't be me. I'm not that kind of person. I can't do things, you know. That's our heart talking. That's not our spirit. So I want to talk next time about what it says, what the Scripture says about our spirit and the place that it really is probably supposed to be in, the influence that it is supposed to have. In other cultures, actually, probably the spirit both of God and man has a little more liberty. It's not really, in our culture, anything other than reason is out of the question. You know, which means we are trapped in the confines of our reason. And that's as much as we see of God sometimes, what our reason can agree with. Okay, is that clear at all? You know, the healing part is kind of pivotal. We can't move on without it. It's like, you know, trying to get through a tunnel that's clogged. You're probably not going to get to the other side unless you invest in clearing it. You know. Okay. If you've been here before, you know that I arrive at a point when I'm done. That's it. But then you get to talk if you want to. Do you want to comment? Do you have questions? What are you? How are you doing?
I always get little parts, but there has to be more or less a commitment to pain. It talks about the endurance of the saint.
A commitment to pain?
It is.
At least for a while. To get through it, yeah.
Yes, a resolve to undergo whatever is involved. And sometimes you talk about the reluctance to expose ourselves. Well, God, if we want it in our heart of hearts to get through this, then God will do the exposing for us. That's a painful thing, too. Mm-hmm. And the lid ripped off. But he'll do that if we're unable to agree with him. But it's in a sense, you know, it's almost masochistic, I guess. Is that the word? Because we're creatures of comfort. I mean, that's our natural inclination, is to find the most comfortable place and abide there.
Right.
You know? And there has to be this thing of just going... Mm-hmm.
Maybe
being uncomfortable with our comfort zone, you know, just going, I can't live this way.
Well, the comfort zones can get kind of empty.
Yes.
They can get kind of dead, you know. I mean, and that's a motivator. But I do think you're right, Steve. We have to actually face that because, you know, the Lord wants to restore His creation. Now, that's a sizable project, and many of his children are not willing. So that means it's a difficult project. So we're not going to, if we're going to join him in that, really join him in that, and have our heart committed to it, it's probably not going to be a comfortable work. It's probably going to be a challenging and rather difficult work, but it's not going to be all that comfortable, you know. But I really believe that what he would like is not to have us flounder around and not know where we're going or how to get through things and not rip off the lid either. I think he'd like us to be able to accompany each other in a productive way and be able to somewhat systematically help one another through that process. We have a handle on it enough that we can do that. And really, I believe that is something that the Lord is really moving and kind of pressing the body of Christ with in our day.
Have you seen that in ministry?
People
are able to do that?
Yes. Yes. I think one of the greatest joys for me is being part of raising up a number of people who are now doing that with others. Yes, I do think that's very possible. And really, I think, you know, going through our own healing process is something that equips us tremendously for that. It's not going to automatically produce it, because I think people are gifted and called and kind of drawn by the Lord into those areas. But the best handle we have on it is going through it ourselves, you know. Because, you know, if you're going to try to just minister to people out of knowledge, you're going to try to get them through things that they can't tolerate. If you've gone through it yourself, you know what it's like, and you have a different level of relating and compassion.
Can you give us an example?
I can give you an example. Lord's telling me to say something.
Here's your chance.
And in 92, I was assaulted. And it was something that I didn't tell anybody about. I kept it to myself. myself, and over a period of time, I felt like it was behind me. And I actually began praying with Susan a couple years ago, and we went through a lot of things through that, the connected prayer and the process. But it was something I had a lot of beliefs about what God thought about me and about the situation and what I could have done differently. And it affected me in all sorts of relationships, especially with men. And so I don't know what I'm doing talking about it, except that it wasn't worth hanging on to. And that's basically what Susan and I discussed. It was a comfort zone to leave it where it was at and not bring it to the Lord. It was a very vulnerable, very painful situation. But as we did bring it to him and he spoke into it, it was like when he said, "Let there be light," and light was there. He recreated a truth for me, and I really am healed from it. I think there'll always be some scars and there'll be some things that can trigger and touch it, but nothing like I had before. He's looked at it, he's told me about it, what he thought about it, and I've been able to respond to him, and I wouldn't trade the freedom I have now for those 12 years that I held on to that. And so it gave me permission to look at anything else.
Yeah. But difficult to press through that, wasn't it, Melissa? Difficult to stay with it. Difficult to...
It was, you know. But once I had that first taste of freedom with something that big, it was so much easier as he lit up other things and it came to light. And they would be scary. It was so much easier to face them because I knew the joy and freedom on the other side.
You said that what you thought God thought about you, was that not what you were thinking, that he thought about you in error according to the scripture?
I was way off.
But that's not, he really didn't think that about you, is what I'm trying to get at.
No, but my heart believed he did. And my head said, no, he knows, and he knows how it went down, and he's comforted me whenever I've cried and I've come to him. But my heart did not believe that. And when it came down to facing him with it, I was very afraid and very sure he's going to wipe me out.
That's the difference, I think. We can know what the Lord says, but the feelings and almost like a belief going on internally comes from the ruts, comes from the associations. They're two different things. And clearing the one that comes from the associations and the influence of them and the fears that are related to that, those are the ones that are a little more difficult to get in touch with. And unless, see, we're after our whole heart agreeing with the Lord, right? Our whole heart agreeing with the Lord. That means we're going to have to process the emotions. It's a third of our life. We're going to have to do it, or our whole heart will not be united. You know? We can't unite our mind and say, that goes for my heart too, that's that. It doesn't work even the same way, you know? We unite thoughts very differently than we have to work through emotions. They're just very different. So...
So, you know, we talk about this, but there must be a technique that you've found effective in doing this, okay? Because you say the mind can be settled and agree on what the Word of the Lord says, but the emotions can be completely distorted. Now, what is the technique?
The starting point is to start... is to find out what kind of connection is actually going on with the Lord. And that can be an understanding connection. It can be, some people say, I feel closer to the Lord in worship than any other time, but I don't feel that when I'm not in worship. You know, the starting point to find out what's going on emotionally is to start inviting the Lord in to join and meet with that person. And they will either experience that, they will either experience the presence of the Lord, because he is present, at hand, the scripture says. Drawn near, at hand, present, always. He is present. That is not even a question. They either will become aware of that and begin to have some kind of interaction with him, or the request will bump into what is preventing it and start to light it up. And I, you know, I'll give you an example. That is one of my classic examples. praying with a woman who had been seeking and seeking and seeking and wanting to connect with the Lord, and trying everything. You know, I pray, I read my Bible, I do all the things that I know how to do, and I still don't really feel the presence of the Lord or hear Him or get much of anything from Him. You know, and so I said, well, why don't we look at you not doing anything and just inviting Him to join you? See, He's the one who comes to get us. We don't make our way to Him. He comes to get us. He's the Savior, right? He comes to redeem. He comes to get us. He's the retriever. And see, that puzzles people. They say, because it feels like if we don't do something, nothing will happen. You know? So, just to try to get people to shift gears, you know, to let God join them, to show Him, let Him show them. Okay, so we began to pray that. I began to pray, Lord, I know You're present. You want to be with Your daughter, and she wants to know Your presence. So we invite You to join and meet with her. And as I began to pray, I could see that she was getting very anxious. You know, more and more so, the more I invited the Lord in, she got more anxious. And finally, she looked up at me and said, He's not going to yell at me, is He? Well, she knows. She knows that's not what it says in there. She's read it and read it and read it. She knows that's not what it says. She knows that's not his response. She knows that's not how he declares himself to her kids. But that is her intense expectation emotionally. And I said, no, he isn't going to, but who did? And we were within a few seconds identifying the associations that she was closely allied with, much of her growing up life, that contained that. And they produced an expectation of anger and yelling and rancor and correction and criticalness and all the stuff that characterized that. And she didn't want to get anywhere near that. Oh, well, I can't imagine why, you know. See, we don't want to race into joining with somebody who is like that. And that is, see, that's the difficulty of getting in touch with that. But it's a connection issue. And it's clearing what is in the way and their misunderstanding of how God is.
So once she became aware of that, what was the result of that? Did you deal with it immediately, or was it something that eventually...
It had to be a bit of a progression, because there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear. Those beliefs are very strong. You know, it is no wonder that God says, believe Him. Because whatever we believe is very, very strong. I mean, what we believe is lodged in our heart. And we believe it pretty strongly. I've heard people, you know, say, I see that, but I can't change that. Well, sometimes that's true. I mean, I think God can say things to us or move in ways that are so different from our experience that we can hardly relate to it. And when that happens, I say to people, that's what you say to Him. I can't relate to that, Lord. You know, make a way. Make a way for me to be able to relate to that. Now, see, I say that by faith, and I know God will. They think, I'll be here forever. We say it anyway, you know, because He does. He does. They come back, you know, a week later and say, this happened this week. Do you think that was the Lord? Yes, I do. I think He's answering prayer. It starts with connection. It starts with breaking through. It starts with finding out. It starts with a way to gently, the Lord actually does this pretty gently, although when it hits our awareness, it's alarming to us, you know. It was alarming to her. You know, she did not know that it would make her very anxious for the Lord to approach her. She didn't know that. She thought she was trying and trying and trying, and she can never get the right key to get him to come. And that, you know, when we believe that, we're not gonna try anything else. So yeah, I think the thing is, Steve, is to get the connection to happen, so that the Lord can start lighting up stuff, and He does that line upon line, very gently, with tremendous assurance and a comfort that is indescribable. I have to tell you that some of the things the Lord's been doing while we're having this meeting is freeing me, and you can hear it tonight. But you know what? I've seen this stuff, and I know it's true. And I know we need to get out. Okay, I'm going to...